Welcome back to the Pop Culture Abstract Podcast. This is Jay, and back in July, I got a chance to talk with John Sickles. He's a minor league baseball expert. He used to publish the book called The Minor League Handbook. He writes for SB Nation's minor league baseball site called minorleagueball.com. We talked about Cardinal prospects back before the trade deadline. The only one that moved was Marco Gonzalez. We talked about him a little bit at the time. We talked about all kinds of guys throughout the whole system. So, want to talk a little bit about Cardinals prospects with you.
Sure.
So first off, we'll start with the guys at the top. Luke Weaver and Marco Gonzalez. What do you think their long-term outlook is like?
Well, you know, I love Luke Weaver. I mean, I think that, the reports on him are always that his stuff plays up because of his command. And obviously that's true if you see him pitch. He really knows what he's doing, but I like Luke Weaver a lot. I mean, he's clearly too good for AAA. I think they just need to run him out there and let him pitch. It wouldn't be surprised to me if two or three years down the line, assuming good health, you always have to put that caveat in there, that he could end up being, you know, certainly well above average pitcher. And you look at his track record and maybe he doesn't throw 99 million miles an hour, but he really knows how to pitch. His ability to change speeds is exceptional, and ultimately, that's what pitching is about: is disrupting the hitter's timing. And he certainly knows how to do that. Wouldn't surprise me if he has some seasons where he's one of the best pitchers in the league.
So last year's struggles were more along the lines of getting used to the league and
control? I think so. I mean, look at Jose Berrios, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Last year he was just like, you know, oh my God, what am I doing? And then this year he got his confidence back and he's been excellent. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if Weaver's the same kind of thing. You know, sometimes you got to face a little adversity, but he certainly seems like he can make the necessary adjustments. And I really wouldn't worry too much about what happened last year. As for Marco Gonzalez, as well as I do, it's all about the health for him. And, I think he clearly knows how to, he's also a guy who could certainly change speeds and knows what he's doing, but is he going to be able to hold up under any kind of workload? You know, maybe, and you would know this better than I would because you're closer to the situation, maybe they ought to just, you know, let him be a reliever. I mean, what do you think of that idea?
I've actually thought about that too, because he's got two really good pitches, so I think that would play up well in the bullpen.
Right. Yeah, and maybe he could, maybe it's just not something that he's ever going to be able to go out there and throw 200 innings or even 180. But maybe if you could get, you know, 80 or 90 sharp innings out of him out of the bullpen, maybe that's ultimately what he ends up doing. But it's just an issue of health for him. So basically, I mean, I love Weaver. Gonzalez, I'm a little bit more leery of, but that's basically because of his health record.
Yeah, and yeah. So they're pitching right now with Jack Flaherty. What are your thoughts on him?
I love Jack Flaherty. I mean, that's another guy like Weaver where it's like, okay, maybe he's not throwing 100 miles an hour, but man, he knows what he's doing. I mean, he's even younger. He's sort of like a young Weaver, except he's more physical because he's bigger and got a more classic starter's build. But I love Jack Flaherty too. I think that's he's at least, I think, a number three starter and maybe more than that if he really maxes out. Again, like with any other pitcher, you got to, you know, is he going to stay healthy and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, the way I look at it is if you've got a pitcher who throws 100 miles an hour and he's not striking out anybody, or if you've got a pitcher who throws 93 but gets his strikeouts, who would you rather have? Now, if you're talking about, you know, somebody got a rookie ball, maybe you want the guy who's got the better arm strength because he's got more to work with physically. But by the time you get the AAA, if you're throwing 100 and you're not striking anybody out, and you throw 93 but you are, by the time you get the AAA, I, I, think maybe you want the guy who's got the numbers of the power pitcher, even if the radar gun doesn't light up, you know? I mean, it's kind of the way I've always looked at it. But then I tend to like the sleeper types. You know, Flaherty's not exactly a sleeper because he was a supplemental early pick guy. But he was drafted, like, what, 3 years ago and he out of high school, and he's already in AAA? I mean.
Yeah, he was taken right after Weaver, I think.
Yeah, that's right. I think you're right. He was, what, 33rd or 34th? Yeah, extra, I can look it up here. Yeah, Weaver was 27th, and you know, Flaherty was 34th that year. So that's a hell of a 1-2 punch there.
Yeah. And so they're all thrown to Carson Kelly. What do you think his long-term potential is, and is he going to end up a Cardinal?
Yeah, well, Adam, obviously that depends on what's going to happen in the trade market. But I like Carson Kelly. A couple of years ago, I feel a little more skeptical about him because I was kind of worried about how the bat was going to develop. But his defense is outstanding, and that buys him time with the bat. And I think he's certainly made the most of it. He's shown a lot more power in the last couple of years. He's controlling the strike zone well. Certainly, he gets good reports for his makeup. I think that he'd be ready next year, probably. I don't know if he ends up on the trade market, or maybe they run him out there as a backup for a couple of years. Because Molina, what Molina's contract? That's like another 2 or 3 years, right? Like 2019 or 2020.
Yeah, something like that.
Extension. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe they run Kelly out there as a backup for a couple of years and let him get used to the major leagues and make some adjustments, and then he's ready to take over in 2 or 3 years from Molina. But or maybe he gets him in the trade market. That's another thing they could do. But you know, Molina's an interesting guy because that's a guy who got the job in the majors based on his defense, and then eventually he learned how to hit. And maybe the same thing happens to Kelly too. You know, he's got the physical strength, and you know, with more and more reps, I think he seems to have figured it out. I don't think he's ever going to be a 300 hitter or anything like that, but I could see him being a 250 hitter with some power and a good on base percentage, and then the defense. And I mean, that's a guy that can have a 15 year career.
Yeah, I just hope that they keep him. I would hate for them to trade him and see him succeed somewhere else.
Yeah, that would be annoying, especially if it was in the National League, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So at Double A, we have Sandy Alcantara. What do you make of his struggles this season?
Well, you know, okay, there's the guy who's got the massive fastball. I heard something from a Texas League source about a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago. It was back in early June or late May. I don't remember exactly. But and he was talking about that, oh, wow, this guy's got the arm strength, no question, but that he was still sort of more of a thrower than a pitcher. And you know, you can see the potential for a good breaking ball and a good changeup there, but he's just not quite there yet. And again, he's really young. He's only 21, and so some ups and downs in Double A. I think that's to be expected. I think the main question for him there is the long run is he starter relief? I think you throw him out there as a starter as long as possible to see if you can get the three pitches out of him with relief as the backup idea, you know, later if the starting doesn't work out. But yeah, I think you just leave him in Springfield the rest of the year, bring him into spring training, bring him into major league camp, see how he looks, and send him to Memphis next year and maybe look at him as somebody for late 2018 or early 2019. You know, he clearly has the upside of a dominating starter, but it wouldn't be surprised if he ends up in relief in the long run. But, you know, it's the Cardinals. They're pretty good with pitching, so I wouldn't underestimate him, but he's not going to get there as soon as, you know, some of the other guys, like that guy they got from North Carolina last year, Zach Gallen.
Gallen, yeah.
Yeah, I love him. I love that guy too. You know, 1 year out of college, he's already in AAA. He's sort of along Weaver lines, I think, in terms of what they could get out of him. But and he could get to the majors before Alcantara, but you know, I mean, I love his upside, Alcantara's, but he's still trying to learn out how to be a pitcher. And maybe I have him hang out with Weaver and Gallen and figure it out, you know?
Yeah. So right there with him would be Junior Fernandez.
Yeah.
He's in high A this year, though. He didn't move up with Alcantara. They were kind of matched together in previous rankings before this past season. What about his long-term potential?
Well, I mean, like Alcantara, he throws really hard. I mean, what, 97 to 100, which is interesting for him because, you know, Alcantara is a pretty big guy and Fernandez is shorter. He's like, I think he's listed at 6'1", but he looks more like 6', at least last time I saw him. But he's got the real quick arm and the arm strength. I think that I haven't seen him this year. The last time I saw him, his breaking stuff needed some work. But again, it's, you know, the arm strength's clearly there. I my guess is that he probably winds up in relief in the long run, but again, he's only 20, and you know, you got to like the arm strength there. Again, he's a year behind Alcantara on the ranking chart, and we need to see what he does in Double A. That I think one thing they need to see there is I talked earlier about the strikeout issue. He doesn't strike out a lot of guys for how hard he throws, and that usually reflects issues at the secondary pitches. But given his age, you know, patience is advised. You know, you really have to like somebody who can throw as hard as he does.
Yeah. So last year, the first round pick was Delvin Perez, dropped because of the PED issues.
Right.
What are your thoughts on him? I know it's early on.
Yeah. Well, he certainly hasn't done anything yet, but it's only a couple weeks, so I wouldn't worry about it too much. That's hard to say. You know, as an analyst and as a fan, I really hate the whole PED thing because it just from a purely selfish perspective, it makes it impossible to project these guys because you just don't know how much was that impacting what he was doing in high school, how big of a issue is that going to be. I just don't know any way to measure it or project it. So for him, you're still talking about a guy who was, he's only, God, I don't even think he's 19 yet, is he? He's only 18.
I don't think so.
Yeah, and so it's interesting because when he was going into the draft season last year before the PED thing came up, his defense is always considered to be better than his hitting, and then last year he showed more with the bat and his stock went way up. Well, now, was the hitting, improved hitting because of the PED, or was it legitimate because of his age and he was just figuring out the game? And there's just no way to know.
Right.
We just need to see him play. So I'll pass on that one because I don't know.
So have you heard anything?
Let's see what happens at Johnson City.
Yeah. Have you heard anything about makeup issues? Because I heard rumblings that part of the reason he was demoted was he didn't listen to his coaches and he was kind of a hothead. I mean, have you heard anything along those lines?
I heard that same rumor, but I don't have any more detail on it than you do.
Okay.
Again, he's 18. Even if there is a makeup issue, there can be a real big difference in the maturity level between somebody who's 18 and somebody who's 20. So even if he's got a maturity issue right now, he's still got plenty of time to grow out of it, and maybe the demotion will kind of, you know, get it through his head a little bit that he needs to take it seriously.
Yeah, and the Cardinals have kind of dealt with this before with Shelby Miller a few years ago.
That's a good example. Yeah, yeah.
And so the first round pick before Perez was Nick Plummer. He's struggled pretty bad his whole pro career. He's been struggling to stay healthy, and he's not really hidden. What are your thoughts on his issues?
You know, Plummer, it's funny. I did another interview a couple days ago with a website just talking about the Twins, and they asked me what's the hardest thing to do as an analyst? And for me, I find it a lot easier to figure out how a pitcher is going to do and how a pitcher is going to succeed than a hitter. And this is especially true for high school hitters. I don't have any idea how the hell you analyze those guys. And here's Plummer, who when he's drafted, he supposedly had the good bat speed. There was supposedly some power in the bat, and he had really good plate discipline, you know? And if you look at what he's doing so far, the plate discipline's there. He's been drawing tons of walks, but there's just absolutely no power. Now, he also had, the whole layoff, right? He was out all last year, and it was like a wrist hamate thing, right?
Right.
And that messes up power, you know? I've seen many cases in the years that I've been doing this where – a guy breaks a wrist or breaks or messes with even just a small fracture in the hammy, it can cost them. I mean, yeah, even once they're cleared to play again, it can still be a couple of years before they get the strength back to where it was before. So in Plummer's case, you've got the rust from missing a year, and you got the fact that it was a wrist injury, which could screw up his power. So I think it's too early to give up on him. He's still really young. He's only 20. And the fact that he controls the strike zone so well is a positive for him. It's not like he's, you know, just, you know, flailing at stuff, you know, 3 feet outside and doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's trying to be selective. He's trying to get pitches he can hit. And it's just not going well yet. Now, I haven't looked at his spray charts. That would be something that would be interesting to look at, would be to look at his spray charts and see, is he hitting a bunch of ground balls? Is he hitting fly balls that are just not going very far? Is he pulling the ball? Is he hitting the opposite field? I haven't looked at that stuff recently, so I don't know what – that would be something that would be look at. But I think in the big picture – it's too early to give up on him, just given his age and given his background, and we'll probably have a better idea in about another year about where he's going.
Okay. So what are your thoughts on the Cardinals draft this year?
They don't have a first or second round pick. Obviously, they brought that on themselves for the most part. So I think it's interesting because you can look at this and you can see the Cardinal-y nature of it. Where you've got a mixture of college performers, but then there's some occasional upside guy there. Like if you're talking about I think the two upside guys that I'd be looking at, a guy who could be a real good bargain is this guy that got out of Puerto Rico, Rivera,
yeah.
Wilberto yeah. Rivera in the eighth round. He was being talked about 9 months ago as like a potential second rounder, maybe even more than that. And then he kind of, you know, he didn't have the greatest spring in the world and his stock kind of dropped a little bit. So but he's still throwing low 90s and he's shown more velocity than that in the past. And Cardinals have certainly had good luck helping guys like that develop. So I think he could end up being a very nice bargain there in the eighth round. I think the other upside they got was that catcher in the sixth round, Zach Jackson.
Yeah.
He's a good power guy. I don't know about the defense. I've heard mixed things about the defense, but the bat looks pretty good, and that could be a nice bargain there. But you look at the rest of the draft class, and it's just, you know, there's a lot of college guys here, and some of them I actually like quite a bit. A lot of them fit the sort of the profile of the underrated college guys that the Cardinals have been able to do something with in the past. I guess another high school guy I think to look at would be this kid out of Georgia, Terry Fuller.
Yeah.
Inconsistent, a bit better, more of a football background, if I remember right. But he was being talked about as like a second or third round pick at one point, and they ended up getting him in the 15th. So that could end up being a good bargain too. So overall, I think considering the circumstances that they're working with no early picks, I think they did a pretty good job focusing on some college guys that they can could end up being good role players, but mixing in the occasional upside play too. So I think considering the circumstances, they managed it about as well as they could.
So what was your grade for their draft?
Do you remember? What was what?
Your grade for their draft?
How would I grade their draft?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. that's the problem. I mean, I don't like putting letter grades on a draft because the circumstances that every team's dealing with is different. This is especially true nowadays when you got the whole bonus pool issue, and so they just had less money to work with than a lot of teams. But I think they did pretty good. I mean, you won't know how it works for another 5 or 6 years, but I'd give it a B or B minus, I guess, considering the circumstances.
All right. So, all right. Can you give me one sleeper hitter and one sleeper pitcher in the system?
Ooh, a sleeper hitter or a sleeper pitcher in the system. Now, do you mean like a guy that maybe hasn't gotten a lot of attention there's a guy that they signed out of Oviedo.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about Johan Oviedo. He looks pretty interesting. A big physical guy. He's at Johnson City now, so he's just getting started. But I know there's reports of him being in the mid-90s, and he's 6'5 or 6'6. He's still got some projectability there. And his secondary pitches are supposed to be pretty good for his age. You know, he was kind of a bigger bonus guy, but I think on a national level he hasn't really received a lot of attention yet. So that would be somebody that I think that could be looked at for on the pitching side. For the hitting side, I need to think about that a little bit more. Maybe look some guys up. But that would be one pitcher that I would definitely keep a close eye on.
All right, and one last thing. Where do you rank their system compared to the other teams? Middle of the road, top third?
Let's see. Hold on a second. Because I did a organizational ranking thing beginning of the season, and I want to see where I had them at the beginning of the season, because I've always liked the Cardinals system, but I also tend to like the Cardinals, and so I want to make sure that I'm being objective about that. So give me just a second to look that up. Because I think I had them somewhere like at 10th or something like that, but I want to make sure of that. I had them 8th, so yeah, that's where I thought I had them at 10th, but I had them 8th preseason. That'd probably go down a little bit because you've got – I mean, that was before that was right after Alex Reyes got hurt. I'd say they were in the upper third. I don't know if I'd have them in the top 10 right now, because I need to look at what happened with what's going on with the other teams. Right now I'm in the middle of my July examination, where I go back and I look at all the preseason reports and kind of summarize how all these guys have panned out, like, you know, who's doing well, who's doing worse than expected, who's doing better than expected. And I'm just getting started with that. I should have that done in about 2 weeks. And then I could give you a better idea about where I rank them right now. But I had them in the upper third at the beginning of the year, and they're probably about middle of the pack now. But, you know, ask me in 2 weeks, I could give you a better answer.
All right. Where can people find your work at?
Oh, minorleagueball.com. Minorleagueball.com. There's the front page stuff, but then I've also got there's a thing there that you can find at the top of the not quite at the top, it's just a little bit down in the middle with the Minor League Ball MLB Prospect Index. And what I do there is anytime I file a report on a guy, I put it in the central index. You can go to it there. You can find links to the preseason reports, and then as I'm getting the midseason updates done, those will all be indexed too. So far, I've got the Twins and the Braves done on the midseason updates, so that's going to accelerate, and I should have them all done by the end of July.
Great. Thanks for taking time and talking with me. Big fan of your book. I missed it this year.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it just got to be too much for me to do. It was harder and harder to meet the deadline every year, partly because I'm getting old. And just because of family obligations and stuff like that, and I just kind of need to step back for a year. But we'll see what happens next year. But I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for taking time with me today.
All right. Thank you.
All right. I wasn't planning on doing two baseball podcasts back-to-back, but that's just kind of how it worked out. I'll be back next week talking movies with Dan Buffa. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, you can go to iTunes or Google Podcasts and look up the Pop Culture Abstract Podcast, and you'll find it. You can also find the podcast at our website, popcultureabstract.com, where you'll also find my writing. The intro music was Social Damage by the band The Euclids. The featured song this week is from The Gift of Gab, featuring R.A. the Rugged Man and A.F.R.O. The song is Freedom Form Flowing.
In a my animate energy element. I am an entity walking ahead of the pack. I really am out of my head, and it's evident that I will never be able to ever quit. Melanin fellow with hell of a relevance, letters and elegant metaphors ready to set it off. Dead on your petty, your levels, I'm ready and able to murder insurances. All in the pieces of murkin' and embarrasses. Honoring measly crumbs, chill, it easily comes. Like breathing from deep in the seat of your lungs. I creep to the beat of a drum that's unique to me as I keep it 100. Leaping through regions and leaving the dumb. And feeble and seasicking deep in the mud. While some of them keeping it thug, like there is a leak in their mud. We better start reaching above. We hit it for economics. Decay what you thinking of, raw. I'm creeping beneath the dove. The surface with purpose, I'm killing delinquents of what MC should be. It's no interest of me if their mission is weakening and keeping it dumb. Keep sleeping, I'm tweaking the frequency of MCing and being a piece of the puzzle. Breathing, we seeking the freedom and what it means to be free and be equal as one. The nation is bobbing and weaving, afraid of the awful and evil. Don't make it their power to lead you away from the power preceding creation. See all of the leaders to take us up out of the season. I hate with the laws of receiving and giving a living. If y'all are believing in infinite knowledge, it's breathing and healing without an entitled degree. Greedy.
The path of the righteous person, laughing and tired of hurting, masking a frantic, emphatic, combative idiot. When is the past the millennium? Master rising to surface, snatching your life, these purses. I'm a little brother like Hakim. When I got a rhyme on a stage for a good amount of time, I'm grabbing the mic in an urgent, smashing a dime for certain, splashing the ice with bourbon. Fro gon' spit so crazy, hoes wanna give for a baby. Crash when you're driving, you're burning. I rap, people minded, the speakers ain't working. I'm clapping a 9-inch Jeep and you're swerving. I'm black with the eyes of a serpent, back with a knife for purchase. I'm acting the rhymes and the heat is conversing, attacking his mind. Now you'll leave what you worship here with a vengeance. Your fear appears in a mere sentence. Be the apprentice. Fro on a track with Gavin Arkham. Combined with the beat that we murkin', drama unravel, pro commence, llama in the shadows, no defense, calm in the battle, most intense, honey dips in them silly bras, they got to do me, I throw dick, but money clips in the milli cars is not usually pro shit, the ether rider, the frequent feet and feeble freedom fighter with dope steez, the heat of fire, the reason he beats, cause he admire the OGs.
With us, rivals fighting five of us, bitches slide with us, my dick is harder than elephant ivory tusk, Baphomet bison, bite the dust, slime and crust, life of lust, Tyson, biting knife, slicing gut, sniffing cyber dust, filling their mind with the hatred and jealousy, fell in the rugged like they were the LLB, rock him and Eric B, check out my melody, ducking the felony, nothing they telling me, never forget him, I send him to heaven, I went independent position, I've been in again and again, and I'm ruling the throne, it'll never be ending, the message and lesson I'm sending is killing civilians in Yemen, the bigger the spending, the people pretending to feed him a speech, is it hateful offending, the weapon possession, the Second Amendment is me, I'm back. Bitches, give the gab, blackalicious. You could watch that Harry Potter Radcliffe rap this shit. Like when I gotta drop and it's hip hop and it don't stop with the whole block and the hoes hot. Do the windmill, do the wop, do the robot flow hot. Never go pop, no shot, soul sock, digging a dick in a nun. Hun could blow cock at the church, Pope Benedict flop. The white flame night train named James Brown, but the bitch be riding my dick like Greyhound. I ain't playing with no gimmick when they picking every minute and I take it to the limit. And the when I'm in it, when I'm making an exhibit, is it entertaining? Is it? Hey, president, race, bigot, slow, deadbeat, James Van Bevel, reign forever. Act like a dick, I'll be the pussy till he changed gender. Switching, launching a rocket and making it. Brain on the ceiling, revealing opinion, is sinning, the fish in the sea, and the birds in the heavens, we live in and give it dominion, and in the beginning, the women, I've been in the devil, is winning the end of the end, and the evil, and tricking the murder, religion, the media, spinning this painted, I'm bringing them out.